Well, howdy y'all. Welcome back to Once Upon a Time in Texas. This is episode number 59. I'm your host, Michael Mitchell. So, kids and wife are on spring break and I totally screwed up and did not record my podcast yesterday. So this one's going to get posted a few hours late today, Wednesday, March 13th. But, oh well, it's fine. We've had a lot going on this week. Last weekend, we went camping with Troop 1. We went to a thing called the Lonesome Dove Duck Hunt thing. It was very interesting. This is where people bring their hunting dogs and they test them and certify them, stuff like that. I mean, there are some expensive dogs, expensive trucks, and some danged expensive trailers. One guy, I asked him, I said, I'm just curious, how much do one of these dog trailers run? And I'm thinking maybe 20 or 30,000. And he was like, you know what? This one new is a 3-year wait and about $100,000. I was floored. So what were we doing as a troop at this camp out? Well, that's interesting. So the ducks are all fresh and they are euthanized and they tuck the heads under and they've got these big catapults. And so the guys and gals, there were gals out there too, will make the duck sound, you know, the duck call thing. And then this duck launches out of this catapult out onto land or on water, wherever they're doing their training and testing. And as the duck is flying through the air, the hunter will shoot a blank, simulating shooting a bird. And then, you know, he'll tell the dog, you know, whatever, get him or whatever the command is. And the dogs launch off and go out and get the ducks. And then there's all kinds of commands and things that they tell them. And, the dogs do it. It was pretty impressive. So we had a good time. This is a thing where the leaders get to kind of sit and chill. And the kids are out doing the work. So just a great interesting thing to do. And we got asked to go do one up by Lawton, so I don't know if we're going to do it or another troop, but it was pretty cool. So don't know that I could have ever said before that I'd had a good time launching dead ducks, but I did this time. So anyway, usually if you live in a town, you know if there are famous people, you know, from that particular town. And usually the smaller the town, the fewer the celebrities, but more folks know about it. Like, they're pretty proud of their hometown kids, right? So, however, there are quite a few famous people from Wichita Falls that I didn't know about. And you know what? I'd like to explore a few of those from here specifically. So, before we take a look at a few famous Wichitans, Wichita Fallsans, Wichitans. I guess we just go by Wichitans because everybody shortens Wichita Falls up to just Wichita. Even Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent, if you listen to this podcast, love your music. Cool dude. And I remember a story from a few years ago where you came and played up here. And I heard that you hopped on your plane and told your pilot, take me to Wichita. And he did. It was just Wichita, Kansas. And heard you had to fill up, turn around, and fly back to Wichita Falls and made it just in time. So it happens. I've told people before, you know, that I'm from Wichita, and they're like, Kansas? And I'm like, no, a little bit further south. So, but before we take a look at a few famous folks from Wichita Falls, I'd like to thank our sponsors, of course, as always, me and Victory Home Loans. I know there are lots of people out there moving, and I know lots of you guys do too. So, let me help them out. When you work with a mortgage broker, it's usually faster, cheaper, and easier than working with a big bank. And you can work with somebody like me who at least tries to make it a little entertaining. And so send them over to themichaelmitchell.com. That's T-H-E, michaelmitchell.com. And like I said, I'm now with Victory Home Loans, and we currently cover 15 states. So, you know, we cover quite a few. So if you know someone moving, just have them give me a holler. And if I don't cover one of those states, I can put them in touch with somebody who does. So anyway, remember, when you work with me in Victory Home Loans, we sell dreams, not mortgages. Isn't that nice? So where did this week's idea come from? Well, Rotary Club on Monday. That's right. I am a part of the Southwest Wichita Falls Rotary Club, which isn't on the southwest part of town. I guess it used to be. We now meet at the Impact, which is kind of in the big fat middle of town. But yeah, we're at a Rotary Club, and we had a speaker named Robert Brooks, who works with youth in basically track and field. And he coaches them with the goal of them going to college. And he said he has successfully sent every protege or student that he's ever had has gotten them to college on a scholarship, which is phenomenal. And he brought up a young lady that I had not heard of previously, and she's from Wichita Falls. And she's doing some pretty amazing things in track and field, and is even making a run at the Olympics in Paris this year. So we'll get to her later in the podcast, because I want to talk about her, because this is pretty dang impressive. And one of the things he brought up is that, you know, outside of track and field, nobody really knows who she is. And that's sad. We need to be talking about this young lady. So let's jump into the few of these folks from good old Wichita Falls. And we're going to start big. Why not? Let's just go to the governor himself. That's right, folks. Governor Greg Abbott, whether you like him or not, there's some people out there that don't like him. I like him. He's a good dude. He's an American politician, attorney, and jurist, serving as the 48th governor of Texas since 2015, so almost 10 years now. He's a member of the Republican Party, and he served as the 50th Attorney General of Texas from 2002 to 2013, and as a Justice of the Texas Supreme Court from 1996 to 2001. Greg Abbott was the third Republican to serve as Attorney General of Texas since the Reconstruction era. He was elected to the office with 57% of the vote in 2002 and re-elected with 60% in 2006 and 64% in 2010, becoming the longest-serving Texas Attorney General in state history with 12 total years of service. So, before becoming Attorney General, Abbott was a Justice of the Texas Supreme Court, a position to which he was appointed in 1995 by then-Governor George W. Bush, who we all know later became president. Abbott won a full term in 1998 with 60% of the vote, and he was elected in 2014. Abbott is the first Texas governor and third governor in the U.S. to use a wheelchair, the others being Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Governor George Wallace. So Abbott was born November 13th, 1957 in, you guys guessed it, Wichita Falls, Texas. His mother, Doris Abbott, was a housewife, and his father, Calvin Abbott, was a stockbroker and insurance agent. When he was 6 years old, they moved to Longview, Texas. The family lived there for about 6 years, and then when he was 12, Abbott's family moved to Duncanville. In his sophomore year in high school, his father died of a heart attack, and his mother went to work in a real estate office. Abbott graduated from Duncanville High School, where he was on the track team and in the National Honor Society, and was voted most likely to succeed. Well, he's governor of Texas now. I suspect that was pretty spot on. So the wheelchair with Greg Abbott is brought up a lot. So here is very, very basically how that happened. So on July 14th, 1984, at the age of 26, Abbott was paralyzed below the waist when an oak tree fell on him while he was jogging after a storm. Two steel rods were implanted in his spine, and he underwent extensive rehab in Houston and has used a wheelchair pretty much ever since. I got to meet him once several years ago. I kind of remember it being in 2010 when I worked for the Boy Scouts here in Wichita Falls, the Northwest Texas Council. He was a super nice guy. He gave a very inspiring speech and message at a Americanism dinner, fundraising dinner that we had. And I remember him speaking a little bit about the wheelchair and how he ended up in it and the fact that it didn't really define his life, but it kind of also has, you know, just made his life a little harder. And so it just made him work a little harder. And so he kind of, I vaguely remember him talking about, you know, kind of adversity. I mean, you go from being a 21 or 26 year old, you know, track team and runner and all that to being a paraplegic, basically. And so, yeah, it was just a good message, you know. Life gives you lemons kind of thing. So you find somebody who made you, who life gave them vodka, and you have a party. The governor might have said something a little different then, but anyway, that's the one I always remember. So Governor Greg Abbott from the great city of Wichita Falls. So now let's go to Phyllis Coates. Now you may not know that name, but hang on a minute. I'm going to explain. Let's give a little background. So Gypsy Ann Everts Stell was born in 1927 in, you guessed it, Wichita Falls. Coates is the daughter of William Stell and Lorraine Teal. And after graduating from Odessa High School, she moved to L.A. with her mother. Coates attended, as Gypsy Stell, the Los Angeles City College. But Mike, what's the deal with Phyllis? You know, well, that's a good question, and here it is. She is best known for her portrayal of reporter Lois Lane in the 1951 film Superman and the Mole Men, and in the first season of the television series Adventures of Superman. So this is kind of where Superman got his start, and Phyllis was a part of that. So I think that's pretty cool that the original, the OG Lois Lane, came from Wichita Falls, Texas, circa 1927. So another big name in the U.S. and here in Texas and around Wichita Falls is a guy named Rex Tillerson. Rex was born in 1952 in, you guessed it, Wichita Falls, Texas. He was the son of Patty and Bob Tillerson, and named after Rex Allen and John Wayne. So, obviously, those are two Hollywood actors famous for playing cowboys. He was raised in part in Vernon, Texas, Stillwater, Oklahoma, and Huntsville, Texas. Now, he wasn't in Huntsville prison, at least that I know of. I doubt it. No, he just lived there. He has two sisters, Rayanne Hamilton, who's a physician who resides in Abilene, and JoLynn Peters, who's a high school educator. So Tillerson's father was an executive for the Boy Scouts of America. Yep, just like I got to do for 13 years. He was a professional scouter, and this led to his family's move to Huntsville. So Tillerson himself has been active in the Boy Scouts for most of his life, and in his youth, he earned the Eagle Scout. So that's correct. Rex Tillerson is a fellow Eagle Scout, just like me. I got mine in 1997. He probably got his a year or two earlier than me. Considering he was born in 1952, he would have had to have done it before 1970. But anyway, at age 14, Rex Tillerson, while living in Stillwater, Oklahoma, he became a busser in the Student Union building there at Oklahoma State University. and began picking cotton for work on the weekends. In 1968, 2 years after, he became a janitor at one of the university's engineering buildings. So it didn't say if he graduated from Oklahoma State. I'm not sure. I kind of remember him saying that maybe he did. He's a local or another OSU grad, which I'm an OSU grad. So, but I'm not sure because it says he graduated from Huntsville High School in 1970. So he must have moved down there at some point. He was the leader for the percussion section of his high school band, in which he played the kettle drums and snare drum, and he earned spots in the all-district and all-region bands during his senior year. Tillerson received a college scholarship from the University of Texas Longhorn Band. Oh, yep, he wasn't an OSU graduate. He just worked there. Probably ought to read my own stuff before I start talking, I guess. So he got a Bachelor of Science degree in Civil Engineering from UT Austin in 1975. And during his time at UT Austin, he was involved with the Tejas Club, which was an all-male secret society, and the marching band. I didn't look up what the Tejas Club was. If somebody out there knows, maybe you should tell me, because I don't. But why is he famous? And why do we know this guy's name? Well, here you go. He is or was an American energy executive who served as the 69th U.S. Secretary of State in 2017 and 2018 in the administration of Donald Trump. And from 2006 to 2016, he was chairman and chief executive officer of ExxonMobil. So Rex Tillerson began his career as a civil engineer with Exxon in 1975, right after graduating. And by 1989, he had become the general manager of Exxon USA's Central Production Division. And in 1995, he became the president of Exxon Yemen Inc. and Esso Exploration and Production, Korat Inc. And in 2006, he was elected chair and chief executive officer of ExxonMobil overall globally, which was the world's sixth largest company by revenue. And Tillerson retired from ExxonMobil effective January 1st, 2017. So it did say he is a longtime volunteer with the Boy Scouts of America. He did earn the rank of Eagle. And from 2010 to 2012, he was the national president of the Boy Scouts of America, which is the highest non-executive position. So I also got to meet Rex at an Americanism fundraising dinner here in Wichita Falls. It was spectacular, super cool, down-to-earth guy. He is retired to a ranch near here, and I hope our paths cross again someday, to be honest. So Rex, if you get to hear this podcast, man, reach out to me at themichaelmitchell.com. I'd love to have lunch with you and just say hello and chat it up with another Eagle Scout. No strings attached, just, you know, let's go to lunch and chit-chat. I'd love to hear some of the stories because I bet you've got some good ones. And who knows, maybe even have you on the podcast. It would be cool to have Rex Tillerson talk on this. So if somebody who listens to this knows Rex and sees him on a regular basis, man, chat with him. On behalf of a little fat bearded Eagle Scout right here in Wichita Falls. So, how about another interesting guy by the name of Larry McMurtry? Yeah, you guys know that name. Although he grew up in Archer City for the most part, he was born right here in Wichita Falls. It does say he was born in Wichita Falls. He was the son of Hazel and William McMurtry, and he grew up on his parents' ranch outside of Archer City. And the city was the model for the town of Thalia, which is the setting for much of his fictional writing. He earned a BA from University of North Texas in 1958 and an MA from Rice University in 1960. Now, it was interesting because Thalia is actually a town out west of Vernon, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Vernon. But anyway, the Thalia in his books, from my understanding, really had nothing to do with Thalia, Texas, which there isn't much there anymore. You know what? I say that was out west of Vernon. Maybe that wasn't. Maybe it's the one out west of Seymour. I don't know. I'll have to look it up later. It doesn't matter. In his memoir, McMurtry said that during the first 5 or 6 years in his grandfather's ranch house, there were no books. But his extended family would sit on the front porch every night and tell stories. In 1942, McMurtry's cousin, Robert Hilburn, stopped by the ranch house on his way to enlist for World War II and left a box containing 19 boys' adventures books from the 1930s. The first book that Larry McMurtry said he read was Sergeant Silk, The Prairie Scout. And I have no idea that the boys' adventure books were probably some of those Boy Scout adventure books, which is kind of cool. But how do we know Larry McMurtry? Well, in case you don't remember, he is an American novelist, essayist, and screenwriter whose work was predominantly set in either the Old West or contemporary Texas. His novels included Horseman, Pass By in 1962, The Last Picture Show in 66, and Terms of Endearment in 1965, which were all adapted into films. And films that were adapted from Larry McMurtry's works earned 34 Oscar nominations with 13 wins. And he was also a prominent book collector and bookseller. He had several down in Archer City called Booked Up. In 1985, Pulitzer Prize winning novel Lonesome Dove was adapted into a television miniseries that earned 18 Emmy Award nominations with 7 wins. The subsequent 3 novels in his Lonesome Dove series were adapted as 3 more miniseries, earning 8 more Emmy nominations. McMurtry and co-writer Diana Ossana adapted the screenplay for Brokeback Mountain in 2005, which earned 8 Academy Award nominations and 3 wins, and included McMurtry and Ossana for Best Adapted Screenplay. And in 2014, McMurtry received the National Humanities Medal. So that's pretty cool stuff. I do know his brother is, or at least was, an English professor at Angelo State. And my wife had him when we were down there in San Angelo. But yeah, Larry McMurtry, I understood he was a good dude, but a little bit of an odd duck. Which I guess a lot of novelists are. But had some pretty cool stories, some pretty cool miniseries, and really a pretty spectacular life. So last but not least for today, this is the gal I was talking about. Her name is Talia Brooks. It's T-A-L-I-Y-A-H. So I don't know that she was born here in Wichita Falls, because it doesn't say that online, but I do know that she went to Ryder High School, which is where my daughters go, and this is the last year, so Ryder will be no more as a high school this year, but she went to Ryder High School, ran track, she competed collegiately for the Arkansas Razorbacks, and having finished runner-up for the two previous years in 2018, she won the pentathlon at the NCAA Division I championships. So Brooks competed in the heptathlon, which hept being, 8 or 10 events. I don't remember. Dang, I sound stupid now. I don't know what hept is. I think it was 10, but might be 8. So she competed in the heptathlon at the Olympic track and field team trials at Hayward Field in Eugene, Oregon in June of 2021, which my sister and her family live in Eugene, Oregon, and I think they went and watched some of these trials. So during the event, the highest temperatures ever in Eugene, Oregon's history were recorded. Brooks collapsed during the event while second overall and was hospitalized due to heat exhaustion, and I don't believe she got to compete any further because heat exhaustion is a big deal. So in May of 2023, just about a year ago, Brooks set a new personal best record of 63.30 for the heptathlon in Desenzano del Garda, Italy. At the U.S. National Championships in July 2023 in Eugene, Oregon, Brooks finished second. So she did finish, right behind a lady named Anna Hall. She was selected for the 2023 World Athletics Championships in Budapest in August 2023. And from our talk yesterday, Monday at Rotary Club, she is well on her way to the Olympics in Paris this summer. So, Talia, if you hear this podcast, know that I'm rooting for you and keep up the good work. And you know what? I'm going to sing your praises because that's a big deal to have a gal of your caliber from right here in Wichita Falls, especially a rider grad. So keep up the good work, Talia, rooting for you. And I'm glad that I now know your name and can talk about you to the masses. So there you go. There's a few folks, the governor of Texas to novelist Larry McMurtry, to the first Lois Lane to an Olympic track and field heptathlon competitor. So what do y'all think? Let me know what other kind of weird or off the wall, interesting Texas history you'd like to hear about. I want to thank our sponsors again, me and Victory Home Loans. Keep in mind, if you know someone moving, not just in Texas or Oklahoma, but really anywhere in the U.S., tell them to give me a call. Send them over my way to themichaelmitchell.com. Remember, I sell dreams, not mortgages, because who really wants a mortgage? We all want the dream of owning a house, but we don't really want to pay for it. But that's just how it goes. So I love making people laugh and smile. And love helping people get into homes of their own. So there you go. Thank you all for tuning in to Once Upon a Time in Texas. As always, remember, the stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas. Y'all have a great week.